Genesis chapter 24. One verse, the last verse of that chapter. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife and he loved her. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Chapter 41, Genesis 41, verse 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, that thee should no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. He gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. In the 7th plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food in the fields, of the fields which were round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph was born 2 sons, before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Turn to Psalm 40. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Turn over to Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not of my tribulation for you, which is your glory. This cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom every family in heaven and earth is named. He will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, but be filled with all the fullness of God, unto him is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, at all ages, world without end. Amen. Beloved brethren, I'd like to speak about these precious things, what we've been having with us these few days, is indeed that touch our hearts, the wonder of them. I think that God has made known to us his mind and his will. Thoughts of eternal past be made known to such creatures as us in the wisdom and the grace of God. We think of these wonderful types, pictures, which we've been speaking about this afternoon, which we've found out because we have the New Testament, we have the truth given to us, we can go back and find there things that are very precious to us. I read that verse concerning Rebekah. We know the story very well. I'd like to speak upon Isaac. Remember, he was the one that was laid upon the altar. Life was about to come upon him. It says, Abraham received him from the dead in a figure. Remember the ram, pulling the thicket by his horns, which was taken instead of his son. When we think of that, and we think of Isaac as a type of our blessed Lord, as we've been already said in these meetings, the first reference to love is concerning the love of Abraham. Take now thy son, an only son, whom thou lovest. The second reference is what the one we read concerning Rebekah, how Isaac took her into her mother Sarah's tent, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted concerning his mother's death. Oh, we want to think of this is the type of our blessed Lord. We think of those words which Abraham said to Isaac, go up that hill, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. We think of what it means, our blessed Lord, as the one that came, God's provision in his wonderful love, provided for the needs, for our needs, but also in order that his heart might be satisfied, that Christ might have a bride, a one whom he could love and set his love upon. All those blessed feelings of the blessed God penned up eternal past, desire to have an expression. We know the love of the Father and the Son in all eternity. But we've been brought to know something of the love that he has towards us. God gave his own Son. He that spared not his own Son gave him up for us all. Then we think of him, our Lord Jesus Christ, coming here, filled with all the love of the heart of the blessed God, to do the Father's will, in order that he might have a bride. The wonderful scripture, know, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down the right hand of the Majesty on high. The joy that was set before him, we've been speaking about the joy. We're speaking about treasure in the field. When one findeth this treasure, he hideth it. For joy thereof, go and buy the whole field, that he might have it. We think of the love of the blessed Lord for his bride, his church. We have been brought into blessing, called the purpose and counsel of God, foreordained before the foundation of the world, picked up now in blessing, standing all the favour in which God has placed us because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he suffered and bled and died. For him there was no substitute found. He was indeed the ram caught in the thicket by his horns, the wonder of his love which held him there. And he was the one that had to be the sacrifice. Oh, the wonder of it, the creator of all things, the one who made everything, the mighty creator, coming here as a man amongst men to take the guilty culprit's place and suffer in his stead, to be numbered with the transgressors, the holy, spotless one, to bear the sin and our guilt, to bring us to himself. Oh, how shall touch our hearts the love which he had. And it says, those words we read, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, She became his wife, and he loved her. Oh, what a wonderful picture it is, a natural picture. How far greater picture when we think of the love of Christ to the church. Mother Sarah's tent, he was comforted after his mother's death. Oh, we think of the blessed Lord. We think of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. How he nurtured them, fell on eagle's wings and bore them to himself. We think of how he, all the way he sheltered them and guarded them and blessed them, sent prophets amongst them to bring them back to himself. How they went further and further away till finally when he came, when the Lord Jesus came, when he came to his own things, his own people received him not. They rejected him, they crucified him, as it were. Sarah passed off the scene, the mother passed off the scene, and who was to take the place? Who was to comfort him? And we find here Rebecca. Rebecca, sent by Abraham, servant, no doubt, the type of the Holy Spirit, to bring a bride for Christ. And what a wonderful picture it is. And we turn over to another picture, Joseph. Again, what a wonderful picture that is. Here there's Joseph, the one who's loved by his father. Here is one who's hated by his brethren. Here's the one who had the coat of many colours. Here's the one that was put in the pit. He was the one that was sold to Egypt. He was one whose feet they hurt with irons. He is the one we read of who came out triumphant, came out as the mighty ruler, came out here to take the place to Zaphnath-Pinia, his veil of secrets, savior of the world. What a wonderful picture he is. And there Pharaoh said, I am Pharaoh, let me, thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. The blessed Lord, here's the exalted man. Here's the one that has been given the highest place. He's in the glory. The one who suffered and bled and died. He's been risen, ascended. Now he's the one who is the reveal of secret, the saviour of the world. And now he's given a Gentile bride. He's given a bride in his, rejected by his people, still rejected. And he's still rejected now, but he's given a bride to satisfy his own heart. And then we find that there's 7 plenteous years. Oh, beloved brethren, there's a time of plenty which we are in. When the heart, when the earth bring forth in handfuls, and there's the food stored up, this is what I want to speak about. He gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Oh, my beloved friends, that one of the things that we're considering, which we're thinking about, they're so great, that they cannot, like they're so vast, they're so wonderful, they're beyond our comprehension. But then we read this afternoon those verses in Ephesians. He said, Paul said unto me, 3rd chapter, verse 6, unto me, I'm less than the least of all saints of this grace given. I should preach among the Gentiles what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. We also read the height, length, depth, and breadth. And to know the love of the Christ which passeth understanding, passeth knowledge. All these things are beyond us, that they cannot be counted. We read that verse in the Psalms. If I should count them, and more than can be numbered, the wonderful thoughts of God, his wonders, his blessedness, the greatness of all his thoughts, the blessed God, God the creator of all things, who's made everything in this world so wonderful, the bodies in which we live and move. He's given us everything in his creatorial greatness. How much greater are his thoughts of redemption? You know, when creation was formed, he commanded it stood fast. When he come to redemption, the Lord Jesus came himself. He came into this world. He came to buy back, to redeem that back to himself, so that he might have that which was the delight of his own blessed heart, that which he set his heart upon, so that we might be in the knowledge of these wonderful things. And beloved brethren, as we share them together, as we think upon together, as we're in it all together. Is there any here don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour? Oh, my dear friend, if you knew what you're missing. Oh, if you knew the joy of belonging to him, of knowing the Saviour, of knowing his wonderful love, of knowing the Father's love that sent the Son, of knowing these precious things. He gathered them up in corn as the sand of the sea, very much he left numbering, if it was without number. We're in the years of plenty, my beloved brethren. Oh, do we realize it? The time is coming where there's going to be a scarcity, you know. We read there's going to be a famine, not for bread, but for the word of God. The 7 years of famine yet to come. We're living in these years of plenty, where there's all the abundance of God's thoughts made known to us, and we can go in for them. We can get the good and the gain of them. We can grow and develop in the knowledge of them. And that's why the apostle desired in Ephesians that they might grow. I want to think about Joseph and his two sons. You know, before the famine came, while there was plenty, he bare Manasseh, and he called his name, God said, he have made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. Oh, we think of what Joseph meant there. As he thought about his toil, what he had passed through, he had been sold as a slave. He had had to work, he had to toil. He was his father's son, and he had plenty. He had to toil, and he had to work, he had to serve, and he had all sorts of temptations. Finally, he was put in prison, and there he had to, everything in the prison was done by Joseph. He was the doer of it. His toil and his father's house, all those that turned away from him, those his own brothers, which sold him. And then we find the next one, Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. All the fruit that God, that the Lord Jesus got for himself. All the fruit. He shall see of the travel of his soul and shall be satisfied. And the fruit that he has got from those whom he has set his heart upon. We know perhaps it's these speak of a coming day, perhaps, but we bring it to ourselves. We know that he will have fruit from Israel. We know the time will come when, as we get here in the picture, when the brothers come to him and he's able to reveal himself to them, and he's able to provide them. But we take these things to ourselves, the fruit from the land of his affliction. The blessed Lord came here into this world, and from this world he's got fruit for himself. He's got those that can respond to his wonderful love. Oh, the pearl of great price, treasure hid in the field, the joy thereof. Sold all that he had, that he might obtain it. Why should he set his heart upon such as us? We know what we are, don't we? We know how failing and weak we are. Why should God set his love upon us? We think this afternoon about the Apostle Paul, how he was the less than the least of all saints. There he was, persecuted the church. Why did God pick him up? Why? Because of his own grace. The grace of his own blessed heart. Not because of what Saul was. He obtained mercy. He did it ignorant in unbelief. And how we obtain mercy. Not that we are in ourselves. Only the love of his own blessed heart. Because of his grace and his mercy, we can respond to him. That which angels cannot do. We can respond to our blessed Lord because we know what he's done for us. We think of the sufferings of Calvary. We think of the grace of his own blessed heart. We think of the toil, that which he toiled in his affliction. We think of all our blessed Lord passed through here as a man amongst men. We think of those 33 and a half years when, after that time, man could endure him no longer. His own people cast him out by the way of the cross. The blessed Lord, the humble, lowly man here, the one who has touched our hearts, the one who has loved us and given himself for us. Well might this heart of ours respond to us. Well might we hold this thing very precious, these precious truths. May we guard them with all the tenacity that we have. May we not let ease and in this land where we are, because of the freedom and liberty, may we not take things easy and say, well, it's all right. We think of other lands where they're persecuted, and how do we settle down so easily? What does the devil do with the ease that we have? We're inclined to settle down. We think of the one in the Song of Solomon, you know, where I sleep, it's the voice of my beloved knocking. I've taken off my tunic, I can't put it on. It says, my beloved put his hand through the door, and my bars are moved for him. The hand which were pierced for us. Oh, beloved brethren, do we take ease? Do we lay on our bed? You could say, my head is filled with dew, and with the drops of the night, he has passed through that dark night of sorrow. He has endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. What should we do? Should we not stand for him in this world? Should we not be like he was? Should we not seek to be like him? To hold fast these precious things? You know, beloved brethren, if God has given us these things, and praise God he has, he's given this precious truth, which is so precious, hidden from many of the dear saints of God. What do we say? Do we boast about them? Do we say, well, this, what we have done, we've got this? Or do we say, humbly seek, because of the wonderful truth God has given us, to seek to live in the power and the light of it? Oh, may God help us to take these things to heart, to guard these precious things, and to seek grace from himself to be here for our precious Saviour who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.